Majin Waha Winch and Galva, Agus Falchigi, Goa Talks, Lum Hange, John Morley, Chocta News, Erin Glorinov, No. Emergency rally for Palestine in Galway City Centre tomorrow. Palestinian human rights activists to receive University of Galway Alumni Award for Law, Public Policy and Society. Chai Line calls on families to make time for breakfast to connect with each other. Galway Wind Farm Action Groups to take part in nationwide protest in Dublin later this month. Connacht Tribune headlines for the city. We have on Thorstall Sailing Festival coming to Salt Hill this weekend. Author Roderick O'Sullivan launches his West of Ireland teenage trilogy. The Galway Thoughts panel is in with us and we have a sports preview with Ollie Turner. Good morning. Good morning, and you're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. If you want to get involved in the programme this morning, you can do on our text and WhatsApp number. That's 086-3833-553. You can phone Fiona on reception on 091-77-0077 and email comments at galwaybayfm.ie. Now, an emergency rally in solidarity with the people of Palestine will take place in Galway City Centre tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Galway branch of the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Campaign is calling on people to assemble at the Galway Cathedral at 2 o'clock before marching through the city centre to the Spanish Arch, where they'll be addressed by a number of speakers. To discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by journalist and chairperson of the Galway Palestine Solidarity Campaign, Kieran Tierney. Kieran, good morning. And you might just talk us through why you've decided to hold this emergency rally.
Good morning, John. Yeah, well, I suppose for 7 months now, the people of Galway have been coming out in their droves for rallies, for vigils, for shows. So, I mean, the scenes we are seeing right now from the southern Gaza city of Rafah are just unthinkable in the year 2024 that we're seeing this kind of stuff on, say, Al Jazeera on our TV screens. 1.5 million displaced into a city where they were told they're being safe, and now they're being told they have to move again and they literally have nowhere to go. So I think, as you know, John, we have a small little Palestinian community of refugees and students here in Galway, but we also have massive support from the people of Galway because we've had some huge rallies over the last 7 months. So only in the last couple of days, we just decided to put one on this Saturday. It isn't as well planned maybe as some of our other rallies, but it's just that people feel a need to get together to meet up for this.
And it's during an extraordinary week. We have these ongoing negotiations to have a ceasefire, but there's still destruction this week.
The destruction is unthinkable, John. You know, we're actually seeing starvation being used as a weapon. I was looking at Al Jazeera yesterday after work. I was looking at images of people stopping aid trucks getting through to people who are starving. And you and I are West of Ireland people, and Galway and Mayo were two of the places worst hit by the famine in Ireland, which was, you know, which was man-made. But that was in the 1840s when we didn't have satellite phones, video phones, satellite TV. People around the world couldn't see these images. Now we can see these images of people starving. I mean, I have friends myself in Gaza who had to leave their homes and have been living in tents, and then they have to leave their tents again and they don't know where they're going, and they've been asked to move out to this sandy area beside the sea where there's no facilities, there's no water, there's no toilets. It's insane stuff, really, you know. And I think there's an awful lot of us in Galway who feel very strongly about this. And that's why our group at a very last minute said we have to do something this weekend.
Mm. And peace is the objective here. But we've seen there's been moves to push pressure on the Israeli state by international bodies. Some would argue not enough when we see the scenes from the Eurovision last night and during this week.
Well, actually, I'm going tonight to there's a concert here in Leisureland in Galway, an alternative to the Eurovision, because artists themselves are just shocked that everything is being normalised with the state of Israel. I mean, how can you have a song contest with the country there, which is actually right now committing a genocide? I mean, Gaza is a tiny place, John, and the number of people that is killed is almost at 35,000. Now, I'm old enough to remember the Troubles in Northern Ireland, which went on for 30 years. And, you know, there's a generation traumatised in Northern Ireland because of that. Only, that's a terrible thing to say, but 3,700 people were killed in our troubles. And we're approaching 10 times that in 7 months in a tiny, tiny place.
Mm. I assume you didn't watch it last night, but Israel did get through to the final. What's your thoughts on that?
To be honest, John, I would never be a big fan of the Eurovision. I found the response of the Irish entrant Bambi Thug quite ridiculous, really. They said that they'd be part of the boycott themselves if they weren't actually in it. But at the same time, I realise it's not fair to put pressure on an individual artist who is looking to boost their career and their profile in front of a huge audience. Now, I'd never have been a Eurovision fan over the years, but this decision to include Israel was taken at a higher level. And let's not forget that 2 years ago, Russia was rightly kicked out of Eurovision because of the invasion of Ukraine. And, you know, for those of us who watch international news, the scenes we've seen from Gaza and indeed the West Bank, because there's terrible violence being impacted on the indigenous Palestinians of the West Bank, which is maybe not getting the same media attention. Mm. But the scenes of violence we're witnessing from Palestine over since last October are just off the scale compared to the horrible stuff that has happened in Ukraine. So there's even double standards there. Now, I probably, in fairness, I wouldn't be watching the Eurovision myself anyway. But, you know, that's not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I find it incredible, you know. And that's why that the artists of Galway have put this big concert in Legoland together tonight. It's a massive, wonderful bill. There's still tickets available, as far as I know. And they're actually restreaming it tomorrow night, Saturday, while the Eurovision is on. So you can watch it online rather than watch the Eurovision.
And is the difference between what happened with Russia and the Eurovision and Israel, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but is the difference that in that situation we're seen as one member state attacking another, whereas Palestine is not recognised by the competition?
Well, I don't know if it's anything to do with the recognition. No, it's just double standards. I mean, it's human lives, John. It's appalling. There's a generation of traumatized children in Gaza right now that have been moved out of their homes maybe three or four times. And we cannot normalize this. We cannot say, this is just, let's have a lovely party and invite these people to fly their flags while they're doing this. I mean, they're not listening to the whole international community. I know the Americans have been disgraceful, but even the Americans are beginning to change their opinion on what's happening. But, you know, they've consistently used their veto to allow Israel to get away with appalling acts of violence and land grabs. You know, this has gone on for a long, long time. It didn't begin last October. There are 700,000 plus people living in the West Bank who are settlers who don't belong there beyond the 1967 borders. So I think the whole world has woken up to the terrible wound of what has happened to the people of Palestine since 1948. I mean, almost 80% of the people of Gaza were run out of their own homes and villages, and that's why it's one of the most crowded places on earth. So this didn't start very recently. I know there is a history, a long history as well, between Russia and Ukraine, but at the end of the day, it's just about human rights. And there's such terrible breaches of human rights going on right now in Palestine that people have to take a stand. But it seems the leaders aren't, you know. And
What would you like to see
the
leaders do, Kieran?
There was no consistency in banning Russia 2 years ago and not banning Israel now.
What would you like to see our leaders do in this country?
Well, they're starting to stand up a bit. I think it's very difficult for them because the Europeans, I mean, like, I'm shocked at some of the things that Ursula von der Leyen has said on behalf of Europe, which includes us, the Irish people. And they, you know, they've stood up with Spain and said, we want to recognise the state of Palestine. I mean, there needs to be boycotts. There needs to be a whole, like, our university in Galway is reviewing any ties it has with Israeli institutions, because I'm aware that every single university building in Gaza has been bombed to the ground. I mean, you're talking about wiping out the hopes for the future of an entire people in Gaza.
Mm. Kieran Tierney, journalist, and also the chairperson of the Galway Palestine Solidarity Campaign. Thank you for joining us on the programme tomorrow or today, and let us know how you get on with your protest tomorrow.
Thank you, John. Can I just say it's also an honour to have, I think your next guest is Shawan Jabarin.
Yes.
That man is amazing, and the organisation he works for, Al-Haq, is one of the best regarded human rights organisations in the whole world. And just to show again that this didn't start in October, Shawan's organisation was designated a criminal entity a couple of years ago, which is just bizarre. It's insane. They're human rights lawyers. Shawan was made student of the decade at the Irish Centre for Human Rights here in Galway. So the idea that that centre would choose somebody who's a so-called terrorist is just absurd to me. It shows how crazy all this stuff has been for so long.
Yeah. Well, you've set it up nicely for me now. Kieran Tierney, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks. If you want to get a comment into the programme, you can do our text and WhatsApp line at 086-383-3553. We're back next, and as Kieran Tierney just mentioned, we'll be speaking with Shawan Jabarin, the Director General of Al-Haq. That's next. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
You're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Shawan Jabarin, the Director General of Al-Haq, because he's to receive the University of Galway Alumni Award for Law, Public Policy and Society today. Shawan, first of all, good morning and thank you for coming in to us. You might just take me back to where your work in human rights began.
It's a long journey, John. It started a long time ago in professionally, I'm speaking 80s, 87, I joined Al-Haq, but started even before that when I was 16 years old. At that time, when I testified against an Israeli settler who killed a student, female, with us when we used to demonstrate against, at that time, against Camp David and the Sadat peace agreement with Israel when he visited, you know, Israel at that time. And they killed her by a pistol. At that time, I was the only one who was ready to testify and to identify also that settler. But then the Israeli court, they released him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I testified against another soldier. He killed another person in the same day. And because of this testimony and I testified, they arrested me when I was 16 years old. I was tortured. They accused me that I'm organizing, you know, demonstrations against the Israeli settlers and against the Israeli soldiers. Since that time, I felt what it means, you know, to be tortured, what it means to be oppressed, what it means, you know, to violate your rights. That's an issue. And I started collecting even affidavits and data from the victims and the eyewitnesses about what's going on there. Mm-hmm. Al-Haq contacted me at that time, and when I finished my school, I directly, you know, joined Al-Haq. But my dream was to study medicine, but they banned my travel. When I finished my school, they banned my travel. Because of that, I couldn't go, and I studied sociology. That's part of the journey.
Mm.
Now, I'm in this field since so long. I don't look at it and deal with it as a job. It's not a picnic, you know. Work in a human rights field, it's not a picnic. And also, it's not a job in the same time.
Okay.
We do believe about it. And now when we are facing all of this, you know, smear campaigns since the last 15 years, you know, myself and also my organization, under smear campaign to discredit us, to silence us, and we continued, and they designated us as a terrorist organization, criminalizing us with the Israeli military order, but we continued. We will not give up, we will not surrender, and I think, you know, work in human rights, maybe there is a price you pay for that work, and we are ready for any price. Defending, you know, justice, defending rule of law, defending our people's rights. This is the main thing that we do, and we will not give up.
Mm. tell me then when your association with Galway came about, because you continued in education and bettering yourself. The pen is mightier than the sword is a great phrase. But when did you come to Galway to study?
I came to Galway on 2004. Irish Aid, they gave me a scholarship, and they think I was the first Palestinian student who got the scholarship. Now I think the program of the scholarships for Palestinians for maybe 20 to 25 students every year. But since that time, I arrived to Galway. I studied at the Irish Center for Human Rights for 1 year, and at that time the Israelis, they put, you know, they conditioned my travel because they used to impose a travel ban on me. And when I left in 2004, the conditions that they put, that I can't go within a year to Palestine, back to Palestine. But when the last day finished here, I returned back directly to Palestine, also as a message to the Israelis that we will not leave our country, we will continue and we will stay there.
And this award you're getting tonight, it's not the first award you've actually got from the university. I know that back in 2010, you got the Irish Centre for Human Rights Distinguished Student Award, and you've been quite busy in the past two decades, really. I know in 2011, you were appointed to the Human Rights Watch Middle East Advisory Board, and then in 2013, you were elected as a commissioner of the International Commission of Jurists. It's been a busy 20 years for you in different roles.
Yes, but all roles, I think, they have a common main thing, defending the rights of people, of victims everywhere, globally speaking. It's not just in Palestine. I was also the Secretary General of Federation International for Human Rights. These days also I am also a member of the permanent arbitration court in The Hague. I am arbitrator, you know, in the court. That's, you know, part of the work we do. But the main focus is in Palestine with my organization, Al-Haq on Palestinians' Rights, defending, you know, their rights, victims' rights, basic case. And you know what's going on there. We are under a colonial regime, colonial settler regime. It's not just an ordinary occupation. It's beyond than that, with the elements also and with the nature of colonialism and apartheid regime. That's what we are living under in the last 76 years.
You mentioned that the Israeli state turned against your group, Al-Haq. How difficult has that made things for your group in terms of the work you're doing on the ground?
Yeah, it's difficult, you know. At the end, we are human beings, you know. My staff, I'm sure that some of them, they were afraid because the Israelis, they can criminalize any one of them because they work at Al-Haq. Some of the donors, they step back. Others, they continued. We were supported by the officials, diplomats, civil society, widely. It's not just one group. Everyone challenged the Israelis to approve their allegations and to give them an evidence, to approve their evidence. And nothing happened, you know, until today. But we opened our office in the same moment when we arrived early morning at that day, and we removed the sealed, you know, the metal sealed door from the you know, the office, and we continued our work. We are not, and I said at that time, the same moment, that we will not respect, we will not implement, and we will continue our work. That's what we do.
It's a decades-long conflict. What have you made about the past few weeks and months? What's your take on what's been happening?
It's unprecedented, to be honest with you. I didn't think that things like that will happen. I know, I live, you know, in that daily killings of children, boys, girls, civilians, also confiscating lands, expanding their settlements, and their settlers also attack and burn the corpse of the farmers, attacking, you know, the properties, houses, burning houses, shooting on Palestinians. The Israelis, they demolish the houses. This is a daily practice also. That's how the Palestinians live. But I thought that this is maybe the scale or maybe this is the level. Mm. Even if I know, and I studied, you know, what happened in 48, how they also massacred Palestinians in different places, different villages. And it was like a genocide in 48, it's not just recently. But I thought that there is some limits, to be honest with you. This is what I think this is an illusion. Maybe this also misunderstanding the meaning and the nature of this colonial regime. Mm. Now what we are seeing, this is unprecedented genocide taking place also before the cameras, before on the screens of the TVs. Everyone is watching. No one can say, I don't know, I don't see, I don't know what's going on there. Everyone is seeing, you know, that on the TVs, that there is ongoing genocide until today, in the last 7 months, attacking civilians. I'm not speaking about the combatants and the field of warfare. I'm speaking about, you know, the civilians, the protection of civilians, the protection of the medical personals, the protection of the children, for instance, to provide them a humanitarian assistance. But they cut the water, they cut, you know, the food, they closed everything before Palestinians. Now it's a starvation in Gaza. We are speaking about 35,000 Palestinian civilians. They were killed. Those, they were registered at the hospitals. And there are also another 10,000 under rubble, and no one knows where they are. Children, women, men, Palestinians, now they are torturing. They killed after the Israeli captured them, you know, in Gaza. They moved them and they captured them. These things, it hasn't happened, not in the scale, also in its nature, even in the Second World War. That's what was going on. And in the same time, many of the third state parties, they are complicit with these crimes, like the U.S., for instance, like Germany, like Britain, by providing also weapons to Israel to kill Palestinians. Yeah. Our children, they are killing by the weapons from the U.K., weapons from Germany, weapons from the U.S. Mm. And those countries, you know, they have an obligation under the international law. This is means that they don't give any attention or any meaning to the international law. Because of that, I say the international system failed. The international system failed, and we are now in a turning point. That's the case, because the international law, it's not a Palestinian invention. Mm. The international law, this is the lessons after the horrific atrocities took place in Europe, mainly during the Second World War.
Mm. What would you say to the Israeli claim that they are doing all of this in the past few weeks and months as a response to the attack on the 7th of October by Hamas?
If they want to respond on that, where respond to civilians? Is this justify them to kill civilians, to attack residential buildings, for instance, on the heads of children, women, everyone in this area, to kill 400 persons, you know, civilians in one attack? Where is this happened? Mm. Who can justify? Let me, you know, hear any legal norms, legal principles allowing and justifying this. Give me any religious, even, you know, standards allowing what's going on. This is not just war crimes and the crimes against the humanity. This is beyond. This is ongoing genocide in Palestine.
The past few weeks, there's been ongoing negotiations for a ceasefire. Are you hopeful that that'll actually come to be?
I hope, but I think Israel's, they go beyond any logic. And the only thing is to kill more civilians and Palestinians for political reasons, to clean, you know, Palestine from Palestinians, to eliminate the existence of Palestinians in Gaza. That's the main political plan behind what they are going. Because of that, they push Palestinians. They try to push Palestinians outside of their country. The killing, the atrocities. This is just to disseminate fear on Palestinian civilians to leave and to run away, you know, from Gaza to the Egyptian borders. For political reasons, they are doing this, and for ideological reasons, because I think it's clear now. It's clear before everyone what's the nature of this settler colonial regime in Palestine. We have been saying this since so long. No one listened to us. We said, without taking actions against the Israelis, they will not change their, you know, policies, their atrocities, their plans, and no actions. What's missing in this situation is actions. We don't need, you know, just words here and condemnations there. We need actions. We need sanctions, for instance. Why the double standards when it comes to the implementation of the international law? Why the selectivity in the implementation of the international law? I am not comparing between, you know, crimes and the crimes, victims and victims. I'm not comparing. But in the same time, why they reacted against Russia regarding the what's going on in Ukraine. And directly, in a few days, they took actions and reactions from the rest of the West. But now, no one taking anyone actions. And when we are calling them to take actions, we are calling them to implement their obligation under the international law. I'm not asking them for an ethical issues or for a moral things. I'm asking them for illegal obligations. That's, and here I think when they try and they start to be selective in the implementation of international law, this is, I think, this is the most horrible things, and this is, has to concern everybody. No one can be, you know, safe or away from the future. The question is also, in which side of the history you are standing in. And here my message also to the Irish officials, it's a time for actions. It's a time for sanctions. It's a time not to allow the Israeli goods, for instance, and the products to get in your market. Okay, they justify that by saying, you know, this is common and one market in Europe. No, no, no. You have your own visa. You have your own sovereignty over your borders. This is the case. Why you, for instance, refuse to vote on the Occupied Territories Bill? For instance, it was drafted and it was submitted by Senator Francis Black at that time. I hope that they have to take some actions, recognizing Palestine, Palestinian state. This is one action, but also the main action is to impose sanctions.
The Eurovision is on this week and Israel got through to the final last night. What have you made of that?
Look, the US yesterday, they spoke about freezing, you know, or stop. Let me say, I can not stop, but maybe they freezing some sending weapons to Israel. Israel, they will continue their crime. They will not hear to any comments or to any demands from here or there. Yesterday also the last hospital, it's now out of service, and this is the last, and there is no now medical services in the rest of Gaza. That's the case. And the Israelis, I'm not differentiating between, you know, left and right, all of them, they agreed to continue and to invade Gaza and to attack and to kill civilians, Palestinians. That's the case. Now, if there is a difference here or there, it's just about the tactic, how to kill Palestinians. If they want to kill them, let me say, in hundreds or individuals. That's and what's going on in the West Bank. Also, there is a semi-genocide taking place also there. Killing is a daily basis. Destructing is the infrastructure is the main policy and the main practice also in West Bank. And pushing Palestinians outside of their land and confiscate their land is the main policy now in West Bank. It's nothing new, but this is have been going on since, you know, a long time.
I know there's a big anniversary coming up next week in terms of Israeli independence.
Look, their independence is our catastrophe. That's the case. Our case, it wasn't started on October 7th or in 1967. It was started even before, you know, 1948. When they celebrate their independence, we are not celebrating, you know. It's a catastrophe of all Palestinians. Half of our people, they are refugees in diaspora. They left their houses, their properties, and the Israelis, they took their houses. The Palestinians still have, you know, their keys of their houses in their pockets. And 75% of the Palestinians in Gaza, they are, you know, refugees. That's part of the reality. But our people will not give up, and our people will not, you know, stop calling for their fundamental rights, rights to exercise self-determination, right of return to refugees to their lands and to their properties and to their homes. And they have been doing and fighting and struggling in the last 76 years, and they will continue.
The University of Galway Alumni Awards are on tonight, and you're receiving the award for Law, Public Policy and Society. And there's been a lot of solidarity in Ireland, but particularly here in Galway, with Palestinians.
Yes, I will receive it, but this is also a recognition for our people's rights. This is how I look at it. It's not just for me only. No, this is for our people. This is for the children and women, those they were killed, injured in Gaza, West Bank, and elsewhere. This is for those they are fighting for justice, rule of law, and rights of Palestinians. This is how I look at it. Really, I appreciate, you know, and I know where is the justice values in the center of the minds of the Irish people and also their hearts. When they are standing behind Palestinians, they are not standing behind Palestinians only. They are standing behind, you know, the values of justice, human rights, equality, against also crimes and against atrocities and against, you know, and they are standing behind accountability, because without holding the criminals accountable, the criminals, they will repeat their crimes again and again and again. The Irish people also, you yourself, your people, you know what it means to be under oppressive regimes. You were under this oppressive regimes and colonial regimes for around 800 years before. Because of that, you are standing in the right square and on the right side of the history.
All right. Shawn Jabbereen, the Director General of ALHAC, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks, and congratulations on your University of Galway Alumni Award. We're back next.
Thank you so much.
And we're speaking with the Galway branch of Childline in Galway. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
You're listening to Galway Talks with John Morley. Some of the comments coming in today. Let's remember that not all Israeli people are bad. Some of them don't support what's happening in Gaza. And another listener says, I don't agree with what Israel is doing, but the performer is not the person doing the killing, so they should be allowed to sing. I know this will be an issue for some, but just my opinion. And they keep coming in. If you want to get text and WhatsApp in, do to our phone line. That's 086-3833-553. You can phone Fiona reception on 0917-00077 and email comments at goibayfm.ie. Now, though, Childline is calling on people of Ireland to take time for breakfast and to help raise vital funds for Ireland's only 24-hour listening service for children and young people. Carmen Tahney, who is the Corporate Accounts Manager at the ISPCC, joins me on the line. Carmen, you're promoting people and children having breakfast and talking this month.
Yes, we are. So we have our breakfast week starting next Monday for the week, and we're encouraging, first of all, families to take time out if they can. I know obviously breakfast is first thing in the morning, everyone rushing around going to work and school, is sit down and have a chat is something you haven't time to even think about. We're asking maybe next week that you would think about that, or maybe pick a day in one day in particular, maybe at the weekend, to sit down and talk with your children for our breakfast week. Just carve a little time out at the start today, like to have a family chat, and then to chat with the kids. Sometimes you find your children will start to talk to you about things, so we're trying to encourage that. Obviously we're a part of Childline, which is the listening service, and we know at the moment there's a lot happening out there for children. We get a lot of calls obviously at the moment because of the school exams coming up now. A lot of children are say suffering from anxiety and stuff like that, so we are now kind of reaching out to people to take time out with their children. We're also looking for companies and we've also retail stores involved as well in our breakfast week. A lot of companies are holding a breakfast within their company just to raise funds for us, and retail stores like Elvery's, Art and Hobby, Vodafone, Lloyd's Pharmacies, Guiney stores, they're all doing donate at the till for us as well. I suppose we see at the moment children ringing for lots of different things, and we're very aware of it as being Ireland's only 24-hour listening service for children. We actually are the only organisation that actually know every minute of the day what is going on in children's lives, and a lot of children at the moment are not having such a good time. We've had, say, about 145 children have reached out lately to us to talk to Childline staff about self-harm, and 65 of those are repeated contacts who then ask for help because they think they have suicide ideation. So, and this is really important that people know this about what's going on out there for children. So that's why we're trying to highlight, having the breakfast week so everybody can take time out and have a chat with each other and talk, but in particular to talk to your children.
Is bullying a big problem too? Because earlier in the week we were speaking to a woman who I call Jane for the purposes of the interview, but she suffered covert bullying from junior cert right through to leaving cert, and then even into college as well, where the bully actually got into the same college course as her.
Yeah, look, bullying has never gone away. Bullying will always be there, I suppose, because of social media. It's bullying is worse now for children than maybe it was 20 years ago when we didn't have access to all of this. It is. We actually have a very good SHIELD anti-bullying program that we have in schools that we try to bring it into the school and talk to the teachers in particular so that they can identify what's happening and to try and sort when this happens. A lot of our services, we have helplines as well, and our ispcc.ie website, we have a special parent hub there. We have webinars on all different topics that people can have a look at, or we have a helpline every morning that people, parents or teachers, somebody can ring if they have a concern, and we'll give them advice on where to go or see how we can help them. But yes, bullying will always be there. I don't think we're ever going to get rid of bullying.
And Childline, I know they rely on the generosity of the public to raise 65% of funding. What's the best way of donating?
Well, if you go to the childlinebreakfast.com, that's our website for breakfast. There's access in there. That's how you can register for a breakfast, or also how you can donate if you want to make a donation. But as I said, Elvery stores and Art and Hobby, some of the Vodafone stores, Lloyd's Pharmacies and Guiney's in different areas, they're all accepting donations at the till for our breakfast week starting on Monday, so you can also donate that way. Also, we're being sponsored, the whole thing's been sponsored by McCambridge's Bread. They've come on board as well to sponsor us for the week.
Okay. Carmen Tahney, the Corporate Accounts Manager at the ISPCC, thank you for joining us on Galway Talks.
Thank you.
Just your comment lines very quickly. The Renmore Parish Development Association, CLG, is holding its annual churchgate collection on Saturday and Sunday at all masses. This collection will help with the running costs of the DSP Community and Employment Scheme, that's formerly FOSS, within the area, which supports the upkeep and maintenance of the church and the grounds, including the parks, hedges, flowers and shrub beds in Renmore, in such beautiful condition all year round. And the Renmore Parish Development Association always welcoming new participants who are eligible through social welfare criteria to work directly with the local community project, and they are always open to new ideas or visions, and the committee would be happy to welcome new members to their meetings, which are advertised locally. And they would like to thank the Renmore community and look forward to their continued support, which is greatly appreciated. We're back after the 10 o'clock news, and we're looking at wind farm action groups locally who are heading to the Dáil on Tuesday, May the 21st. If you want to get a comment into us, do so straight away. A very good morning to you. Majinwa, a winter na Galiva.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road, a new way to car shop.